I called the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. Ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Air Force. There's no one.
Yo. And welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest and blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. I'm talking audio shop talk coming straight to you in your eardrums, just banging on the eardrums, giving you black media information, sports from the black perspective, because we got tired of others trying to talk for our athletes. You ain't part of the clique. So me, myself, Joseph Ward, said, you know what? Let me start my show so I can talk my talk. So here we go. Audio Shop Talk coming straight to you. And this is the Fix Sports Podcast. And thank you for tuning in to get your weekly fix where it go down, because we know we in the South and we keeping it down. Going down in the South. All right. You know how I got to do. But before I get into anything, I want to give a special shout out and a thank you to Mr. Steve Manderson of the Source Radio Network. I was a guest on his show this past Tuesday, and we talked about the NCAA tournament, and I got a chance to talk about this show, The Fix, and also my books, my own The Shows of Giants series. So thank you, Mr. Steve Manderson, for having me on your show. I had a great time. Definitely look forward to being back on your show in the future, and definitely look forward to having you right here on The Fix on the Freedom Train Network. So thank you. I want to make sure I start off to say thank you for having me on your show, because you didn't have to, but you did. So we got to make sure we give Mr. Steve Manderson, the Source Radio Network, a round of applause. Little man in the shirt. So. So you know how we do, man. Housekeeping. As you know, the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shows of Giants, his African history at your fingertips and on the go. If you are tired of not knowing your story, you're tired of being misrepresented, not being able to see the positive images that you want to be able to see of yourself, of your African self, well, go check out On the Shows of Giants. There's a blog. There's On the Shows of Giants blog at www.ontheshoulders1.com. There's an On the Shows of Giants YouTube channel. There's an On the Shows of Giants African History Curriculum app, which is available in the Google Play Store. What else am I forgetting about? Oh, there's On the Shows of Giants book series, which is available on the website, www.ontheshoulders1.com. There's an On the Shows of Giants podcast here on the Freedom Train Network, which drops every Saturday. So make sure you tune in. It's also available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. And as well as this show, the Fix Sports Podcast, and all of the shows on the Freedom Train Network are available on our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com, as well as iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Freedom Train Net. Freedom Train Net on Twitter, Freedom Train Network on Instagram. And also follow me in this show, the Fix Sports Podcast, on Twitter at JoeWard84. And we get it down. So let me tell y'all what we got going on. We got a lot to talk about today, so we ain't got a lot of time to waste. So our HBCU spotlight is being shined on Bowie State for winning the CIAA bowling title. I'm going to give you an update on the NCAA men's tournament, give you an update on the NCAA women's tournament. We'll talk about Kobe Bryant winning his Oscar. Penny Hardaway is the new coach at Memphis. We're going to talk about that, as well as Charlie Ward, former Florida State quarterback. Charlie Ward is now the new head basketball coach at the Florida State University High School. Give you an update on the NBA playoff race and standings and where players are. Steph Curry is injured. He's going to be out for a while, so we're going to talk about that and impact on the Warriors. I almost want to call them the Clippers, but the Warriors. If you grew up watching WWF, which is now WWE, you remember the wrestler Mark Henry, the world's strongest man. He is now being inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame, so we're going to talk about that. Referees Ed Hockley and Jeff Triplett retired, so we're going to give them a salute. Ed Hockley, a.k.a. Whistles McArms. Okay, ESPN put out a list of the 20 most dominant athletes of the 20 most dominant athletes of the last 20 years. So we're gonna break that list down because I've already looked through it. And Serena Williams is too damn low. Floyd Mayweather is thinking about applying for MMA fighting license. I don't know why he's gonna lose, but okay. NFL safety Eric Reed is not being signed, and he says it's due to his NFL protest because he was the first person to protest with Colin Kaepernick. So another person who protested with Kaepernick, but this has nothing to do with that. Now, former Seattle Seahawks defensive end, now current Philadelphia Eagles defensive end, Michael Bennett has been indicted for injuring an elderly lady during the Super Bowl. Gonna give you the latest on what's going on with Aaron Hernandez and the information his lawyer is putting out on him now. Michael Smith leaves SportsCenter. And our weekly rant is going to be aimed at O.J. Simpson. I'm not black. I'm O.J. You are black and you crazy and you stupid. So we're going to go in on O.J. We're going to go in on O.J. So, man, let's not waste no time. Let's get it. IHBCU Spotlight, Bowie State University. Hey, and they stand in their lane. Get it? All right. Bowie State wins. Fourth, oh, shoot, man, we learning something. Oh, shoot. Bowie State wins fourth consecutive CIAA bowling championship. Oh, man, let's get into this article. Bowie State University captured its fourth consecutive CIAA bowling title with a come-from-behind 4-3 victory over Fayetteville State on Saturday. Two teams had met earlier during round three of the championships, with BSU, Bowie State University, sending the Broncos into the elimination bracket with a 4-3 score. Saturday's final day of competition began with round four of the double elimination championship. The I-95 rivals, number four Virginia State at number three Virginia Union, fought through six games, with Virginia State taking the match 4-2. With the elimination of Virginia Union, Virginia State returned to the elimination bracket to face top seed Fayetteville State. The Broncos took an early 3-0 lead with the best-of-seven matchup. BSU captured the fourth game, 174-164, before falling to Fayetteville State, 159-128, in the fifth game, giving the Broncos a 4-1 win. Waiting in the winner's bracket with their arms crossed, like, let's go, giving them the Black Panther shoulders, doing the Black Panther bank head. You know what I'm saying? That's what Bowie State was. Waiting in the winner's bracket with their Black Panther shoulders. Fayetteville State in the championship game, they was waiting on them. And BSU would give the Bulldogs the title with Fayetteville, while Fayetteville State would need to defeat Bowie State twice to take the championship. So Bowie State, like, hey, come on. After BSU started out strong with a 196-116 victory in the first game, Fayetteville State responded with big wins in the next three games, 161, defeat 152, 187, 171, and 157, 146 game. Game five was a blowout with the Bulldogs winning 172-121. Both the sixth and seventh round games came down to the 10th frame, and both times the Bulldogs finished strong to take home the championship. Look at Bowie State. This 2018 championship title is the Bulldogs' fourth consecutive and eighth in school's history. With the title, BSU earns an automatic bid into the 2018 NCAA Bowling Championship. Whoa, home for Bowie State University for coming out
doing their thing, man. So Bowie State got the top finish in the CIAA bowling tournament championship. Fayetteville second. Virginia State is third. The all-tournament team, these are the players who made the one call for the all-tournament team. Ariel Hayes from Virginia State. Amari Dufree from Virginia Union. Bailey Lexton from Chowan. Diamond Carter from Bowie State, who is the tournament MVP. And Savannah Sterling from Fayetteville State. So you know what? One time for the ladies. One time for the all tournament. All tournament team. Area. Amari. Bailey. Damage. Savannah. All tournament team. One time for the ladies. So not only are we giving the HBCU spotlight, shout out, round of applause, everything, congratulations to Bowie State University, we're going to give it to the all-tournament team of Ariel Haith, Amare Dufree, Bailey Lexton, Diamond Carter, who's the tournament MVP from Bowie State, and Savannah Sterling. So with that collective energy and that collective effort, man in the little shirt, all my crowd, everybody get up on your feet. Hey, give that round of applause to the Bowie State University for bringing home that CIAA bowling championship. And also one time for Ariel Hayes, Amare Dufree, Bailey Lexton, Diamond Carter, who's the tournament MVP, and Savannah Sterling for holding it down and making the all-tournament team for Bowie State. Bowie, Bowie, Bowie. Boo-wee, boo-wee. So that is our HBCU spotlight. Man, I love it. That's one of my, I ain't gonna lie, that's one of my favorite parts of this podcast, doing that HBCU spotlight. That is one of my favorite. I love to see people from the HBCU shining and grinding out there doing that thing, that thing, that thing. Yes, 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 yes. All right, let's keep this ball rolling. So, found out that Kobe Bryant, slam dunk giant, outplayed the cold man, don't try it. He made a documentary or an animated short called Dear Basketball and ended up winning an Oscar. So that mama mentality, it extends past the court onto anything that Kobe does. So that's why the Black Mamba, it's an Oscar winner. So let's read it. At Sunday night's 90th Annual Academy Awards, Kobe Bryant won another trophy, this one for the Oscar-nominated animated short category. Bryant, the retired Los Angeles Lakers star, brought home the golden statue for his contributions to the animated short Dear Basketball, based on the poem he wrote in 2015 announcing his impending retirement from basketball. As executive producer, Bryant accepted his Oscar from Star Wars star Mike Hamill. He shared the award with Disney animator Glenn Keane. And to Kobe for writing Dear Basketball, it's a message for all of us, Keane said during his acceptance speech. Whatever form your dream may take, it's through passion and perseverance that the impossible is possible. Bryant, who seemed in disbelief and had to take a deep breath as he repeatedly looked at his Oscar, then delivered a message. I don't know if it's possible, Bryant retorted. I mean, as basketball players, we're really supposed to shut up and dribble. Laura Ingram. But I'm glad we do a little bit more than that. One time, he thanked his wife, Vanessa, and his three daughters, naming each of them. He spoke a few words of Italian, a language he learned as a child growing up in Italy because his daddy played basketball in Italy for a bit. Among those offering their congratulations via Twitter were Hall of Famers Magic Johnson, Bill Russell, and Shaquille O'Neal, Bryant's former Laker teammate, who admitted, "I'm jealous." Cleveland Cavaliers star LeBron James recently criticized by a Fox News host who told him to keep the political commentary to yourself, or as she said, shut up and dribble, also applauded him for his achievement. There you go. And he had to shut up and dribble hashtag. James and Bryant's film were phenomenal. When asked if had seen it, he was also whatever. I ain't reading that far, but you get it. Now, part I want to get into is, so the Oscars was supposed to be the ground zero for the Me Too movement, you know. And let's just be real, a lot of that is just people trying to jump on the bandwagon, because a lot of those people who were supposed to be part of the Me Too movement were very, very, very silent while the Me Too, while things were going on. So now everybody wants to be heroes. But, of course, everybody knows about Kobe Bryant's alleged rape case that he was not found guilty of about 15 years ago, when he was found to have had anal sex with that white woman in that hotel. And, you know me, I tell you, if you're black, man, you know, I'm telling about how to live. My thoughts is stay away from them white women like that, right? But Kobe Bryant, you know, he got caught up in this situation, cheating on his wife or whatever, tried to have sex with the lady. And the lady claimed she called she alleged rape on Kobe. Kobe was eventually found not guilty. So some people want to bring that up, was basically trying to say Kobe shouldn't get the Oscar because of the alleged rape claim that was laid upon him 15 years ago that he was found not guilty of, right? And so people want to bring that up and say, well, Kobe shouldn't win the Oscar because of what he did, because they're saying that he raped the lady, which nobody has any evidence to prove that Kobe Bryant raped that young lady, right? And so it's just all you fake feminists, all right? And this is not to all. It's a lot of you fake feminists who have no good intentions of really making sure people don't get raped again. You are mostly on a revenge tour. And, yeah, I'm calling you out for being on your revenge tour, right? We're sorry if anything happened to you at all. If anything happened to you at all, we do not like the fact that you were a victim of sexual assault. But you cannot throw your anger at everybody because of what happened to you. Because you cannot say, well, false reporting doesn't happen. False reporting happens. We talk about sexual assault, sexual violence prevention, all these things a lot on this Freedom Train Network. Now, we do not stand for men or anybody or women or anybody being, those predators. But we also don't stand for people being falsely accused. Now, we don't know the full story of everything that happened with Kobe, but we do know we don't have enough evidence to say that man was guilty. And so since we don't have enough evidence to say that man was guilty, we're not going to throw no guilty charge or no guilty title to that man or make that man out to be as if he is a sexual predator or something like that, right? And so for all the people in the Me Too movement, and you got to side eye that Me Too movement as well, because that Me Too movement does not include black women, especially if the predator is a white male. Now, if the predator is a black male, then, yeah, you know, it's just like feminists, they'll be all up on it. You see me? I'm not a feminist. I'm a humanist. I ride for human beings, men and women, women and men. And I do think it's funny when men call themselves feminists. I just think that's hilarious. You're supposed to be down for women, period. You're supposed to be down for people, period. So, and I get why the feminist movement started for white women, but I don't get it why black women. But okay, because don't let me get on my feminist soapbox, because white feminists do not care for black feminists. And that's one of my biggest issues about the feminist things. White feminists do not care about black feminists. Black women, period. White feminists, like I have a friend that I know who had a horrible ordeal with the police in her state, and she went public with her story. I don't see no white feminists. I don't see no feminist period on her side. I don't see no white, especially no white feminists starting up. But never mind. Let me move on. But they came after Kobe, but, you know, it didn't work. So shout out to Kobe Bryant for winning his Oscar. And, you know, Hey, man, little man in the shirt. Little man in the shirt. Go ahead, dear. There you go. Show your love. Show your love. Kobe Bryant for winning his Oscar. All right, so I ain't asked nobody for nothing. I took the hard way. Been the hard way, a new coach. Ended the hard way. Hard way. Hard way. Hard way. Young Penny hard way. Young Penny hard way. He the new coach at Memphis. And he about to go do it. And I don't know about the pensions. I just had to say that. Hey, I took the hard way. About to talk about that Penny. Penny hard way. All the way, all the way, all the way, Young Penny Hardaway. All right, so Anthony Penny Hardaway is the new head coach of the Memphis basketball team. Cool. There it is. Whoop, there it is. Took the Hardaway, right? So Anthony Hardaway, Penny Hardaway, had leverage. This is the article I'm reading. He had leverage. He was the only coach who could sell thousands of season tickets instantly. He was the only coach who could get the University of Memphis out of its financial jam. He had connections to all the best Memphis recruits. Memphis fans would have rioted if anyone else had been picked to succeed Tubby Smith. If you don't know what was going on, former NCAA championship-winning coach Tubby Smith was just released, fired not too long ago from the head coaching duties at University of Memphis. And Young Penny Hardaway is now the head coach at Memphis. My first question is, can he coach? We know he can play. Can he coach? And will he put his own personal basketball expectations on his team? We don't know. So, Penny Hardaway, he accepted a 3-year contract worth $4.5 million, or roughly half of what his predecessor earned. So, I guess Tubby Smith got like $8 million. So, Penny Hardaway getting 3 years, $4.5 million so far. He let Memphis off the hook. This is what the article is saying. He put the university's dire financial situation ahead of his own pocket. How totally cool is that? To be sure, $1.5 million a year is not bad money for a university employee. Ask a physics professor how much she makes, right? Because, you know, I do have coaches and people in athletic positions do get paid too much. I will say that. You can be an award-winning academic professor, whatever, and not get paid what these coaches get paid. You could be turning out America's top talent. And I get paid with these coaches. But I do think the same institutions who like to espouse the student athlete title are also full of it when it comes to totally because they're not about student athletes. They're about athletes because athletics bring in more money than academics. But anyway, hey, I ain't the one to gossip, and you ain't heard that from me. But this is the word of big-time college sports, where every Tom, Dick, and Larry makes more than $3 million a year. Mike Krzyzewski, the coach of Duke, makes nearly $9 million. John Calipari made $8 million. Tubby Smith deal with Greg Lee. But actually, Tubby Smith, they're talking about Penny deal was half of that. Penny deal ain't no half for Tubby Smith. This article is saying Tubby Smith made $15.4 million a year. If somebody can't count, that's all that means. Somebody can't count. Because if Penny getting 4.5 and Tubby Smith got, what's this, 15, 15.5 for 5 years, great, at least. So he could have asked for more, but he didn't. That's what they're saying. So the article basically saying Penny could have asked for more, but he didn't. It was an extraordinary gesture by the incoming coach. It's further evidence that Hardaway really is, as it was put to me, on a mission to resurrect the Memphis program, right? So some coaches are on a mission to get rich and famous. Some coaches are on a mission to get to the Hall of Fame. Hardaway is on a mission to resurrect the Memphis basketball. It really does seem to be as simple as that. Don't tell me that Hardaway settled for less because he already has plenty of money. That's what the article said. He still deserves to get paid, though. You still can get money just because you got money. So this article is going so more so into the money and things, but Penny Hardaway now is the new head coach of Memphis basketball. So what does that mean? I just want to know about his coaching background. That's my biggest thing. Can he actually coach basketball? Because if he can actually coach basketball, then that would be good. If he can't actually coach basketball, then they just wasted $4.5 million. Right? I mean, I dig Penny, you know, as a person. You know, I ain't got nothing bad to say about Penny. But, you know, the coaching will be critiqued. And if you can't coach, I'm going to talk about you. We're going to talk about it. But, you know, just, you know, I said, you know, too many times. Memphis basketball hopefully is moving in the right direction. Hopefully. But if Penny can't coach and if Penny doesn't have the coaching background, then they're going to be right here 2 or 3 years from now looking for a new coach or signing a new coach, and I'm going to be talking about it. So hopefully Penny can coach. Hopefully. And if he can't coach, surround yourself with people who can. But that will, or it might be a good recruiting tool for Memphis as well. Memphis does have the ability to get talent. So, you know. Moving on, local Tallahassee news and national sports news. Former Heisman Trophy winner and former NBA veteran. Think about what I just said. He won the Heisman Trophy in 93. He had a 12-year NBA career with, you know, mostly with the New York Knicks. Now he is the head basketball coach of the Florida State University High School. My homie, no, I'm just playing, I don't know him. But one time for the great Charlie Ward for becoming the new head basketball coach at the Florida State University High School. So wish Charlie much success, wish Penny much success, wish these gentlemen much success on their new coaching jobs. And, you know, hopefully they are successful. I want them to be successful. I really do. I love my black folk, and I love people to be successful and open up doors for other black folk to be successful. So Charlie Ward is the new head basketball coach at Florida State University High School. It was just announced this past week. So wish him much luck. And I know in the city, people will be sending their kids to Florida High to play basketball since Charlie's there, because, you know, Charlie got them connections and stuff. Same with Memphis. Anthony Penny got them connections. So there that go. There it is. One time. All right, moving on. Like Maya, moving on. Moving on. I'll be moving on. NBA playoffs. NBA playoffs are fastly approaching. So let's get an update. Let's get updated on what's going on in the NBA. Look at the playoff race, the seeding. Who's in, who's out, who's almost in, who's almost out. And if the NBA playoffs were to start today, who would be playing who? So as of right now, the 1-8 seed, the number one seed in the East is the Toronto Raptors. 2 seed, Boston Celtics. 3 seed, Cleveland Cavaliers. 4 seed, the Philadelphia 76ers. 5th seed, the Indiana Pacers. 6th seed, the Washington Wizards. 7th seed, the Miami Heat. And the 8th seed are the Milwaukee Bucks. In the Western Conference, the 1st seed is the Houston Rockets. 2nd seed, the Golden State Warriors. 3rd seed, the Portland Trail Blazers. 4th seed, Oklahoma City Thunder. 5th seed, San Antonio Spurs. 6th seed, New Orleans Pelicans. 7th seed, Minnesota Timberwolves. 8th seed, the Utah Jazz. On the outside looking in, for the East, Detroit's the 9th seed, Charlotte 10th, Knicks are 11th, Bulls are 12th, the Nets are 13th, the Magic 14th, The Hawks are the 15th. For the Western Conference, the Denver Nuggets are the 9th seed. The Clippers are the 10th seed. Lakers are the 11th seed. The Kings are the 12th seed. Dallas Mavericks are the 13th. Memphis Grizzlies are the 14th. And the Phoenix Suns are the 15th. Remember, LeVar Ball said that the Lakers was going to make the playoffs? They're not too far out, though. Oh, yes, they are. But the 8th seed, Utah Jazz, are 41-32, and the Lakers are 32-40. So, yeah, they're far out, so they ain't making it. But if the playoffs were to put like this, we already know that the Golden State Warriors are going – we expect them to go through the East. Now, Steph Curry is hurt right now. So, Steph Curry is hurt right now. He should be out 3 weeks with the sprained MCL. So he should be back for the playoffs. So, does that – now, my thing about – it does. I was going to say, does that affect the Warriors and how they play? It does. Let's not act like it doesn't affect them. It's not the greatest effect as it would every other team because, hell, they still got three other superstars. You got three other superstars, and then you have someone out of like an Iguodala. Their bench – man, their bench real, man. Their bench is real. Adding Swaggy P was very, very, very good. The backup point guard, I can't think of his name right now. But the Warriors are solid. But I don't trust the Rockets. I don't trust Mike D'Antoni in the playoffs, and I damn sure don't trust James Harden in the playoffs. Chris Paul hasn't really led a team far in the playoffs. So I don't have anything to trust about the Rockets. I don't. So I do still think that the Warriors are going to come out of the West. The greatest challenge could be the Thunder. The Thunder decide that they want to be that team. But, you know, I don't know. And in the East, put like this. Will either the Raptors or the Celtics be able to beat the Cavs in the 7-game series? I don't think so. I don't. But we do have intriguing storylines. We do have intriguing things happening. So with the Cavs, if it was to start today, they would be playing the Washington Wizards. Now, I don't know how long John Wall would be out. So I don't trust the Wizards without Wall. I don't trust the Wizards. I don't trust the Wizards that much with Wall. So trusting them without Wall is a stretch. Right? I mean, let's think about it. But, you know, that's what it is right now in the NBA. The 76ers, man, keep your eye on them, man. They're coming. When Ben Simmons and Embiid, when they get better, if they stay together and they get better, it's going to be nice. That's going to be nice. And they can add probably a third piece for that. That'd be nice. But to give you a little quick update on what's going on in the NBA, like I said, one through, give you again a rundown of Eastern Conference. If the playoffs were to start today, but these are also the current seedings. The Toronto Raptors are number one. The Boston Celtics number two. Cleveland Cavaliers number three. The Philadelphia 76ers are four. The Indiana Pacers are five. Washington Wizards are six. Miami Heat are seven. And the Milwaukee Bucks are eight. In the Western Conference, the Houston Rockets are one. Utah Jazz are eight. Golden State are second. Minnesota Timberwolves are seventh. The Portland Trailblazers are third. New Orleans Pelicans are sixth. Oklahoma City Thunder are fourth. And San Antonio Spurs are fifth. So, little NBA update. NBA update. Wait a minute. I just felt like saying that. I wasn't going to say nothing else. Wait a minute. I've been listening to the radio. I'm sorry. So, wrestler Mark Henry is going to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. And if you grew up watching wrestling like me, you like, oh, shoot. World's Strongest Man, Mark Henry, who ain't really have no good moves and wasn't really flexible, couldn't really move that good. And that's when you really found out wrestling was fake, because that man was too stiff. but he was strong. He could pick up the Big Show. And wrestling was very, 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 very entertaining. Well, the strongest man, Mark Henry, he used to wrestle with them dreads, too. He had them dreads. He had them locks in his head. He shaped them wickets. So Mark Henry took pride in giving countless superstars a vicious induction. This is not my article. So this is an article from the WWE. And so that's why this opening line is lame as hell. Okay. Mark Henry took pride in giving countless superstars a vicious induction into his Hall of Pain. I just want to put that out. I ain't write that, and I wouldn't say that. A vicious induction to his Hall of Pain. That's what they saying, okay? During WrestleMania 34 week, during the WrestleMania 34 week, the world's strongest man would enter a completely different hall. As first reported by USA Today, Henry would be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame as part of Class of 2018. He joins Bill Goldberg, the Dudley Boys, Ivory, Jeff Jarrett, the Hillbilly Jim, Kid Rock and Warrior Award recipient. Okay, whatever. Kid Rock and Warrior Award recipient J.J. Robertson, as those being honored during the inducted into the 2018 Hall of Fame. Okay, whatever. I messed that all the way up. So who cares? So we got Goldberg, the Dudley Boys. I remember, hey man, the Dudley Boys. Yeah, I like the Dudley Boys. Yes, sir. What their names was? DJ Dudley, JJ Dudley, whatever. I like the Dudley Boys. I don't remember Ivory. I remember Double J, Jeff Jarrett. I remember him. Hillbilly Jim, don't remember him. I remember Kid Rock. It's Kid. Yeah. Oh, Kid Rock. Oh, I don't. Kid Rock is a damn singer. Whatever, man. I messed that up. Okay. So WrestleMania is gonna be Friday, April 6th, and Mark Henry, along with all these other people, are being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. When I saw this, I was like, "Oh man, I had to talk about this." Oh man, because you know, I grew up watching Mark Henry. Grew up watching the WWF. Then they became the WWE. And we know now that only the WWE and NFL are classified as entertainment entities within the world of sports. So is the NFL rigged? But Mark Henry, man, Mark Henry used to pick people up, boom, with them stiff knees and them stiff hips and that stiff back. So what a time for Mark Henry. So let me read a little bit. Henry's journey into professional sports began in the world of powerlifting. After becoming a prodigy in the weight room as a high schooler, Henry broke out at the 92 Summer Olympics. 1 year later, he won gold, silver, and bronze medals at the 93 Pan American Games. His unbelievable power caught eye WWE officials, WWF at that time, who signed him to become a superstar in 1996. And I remember him starting, that was 96. That was sixth grade for me. Shortly after competing high in the 1996 Summer Olympics, Henry made his in-ring debut at In Your House Mind Games, defeating fellow WWE famer, Hall of Famer Jerry the King Lawler. Henry excelled inside the squared circle as a member of the Nation of Domination. I knew he was. We are the Nation of Domination. We are the Nation of Domination. We are the Nation of Domination. That was with Mark with The Rock, yeah, and Mark Henry and all. I mean, not Mark Henry, but Farouk, Ron Simmons, Farouk, yeah. So he became known as Sexual Chocolate during WWE's over-the-top Attitude Era. While with WWE, Henry would foray into strongman competition and find great success winning the 2002 Arnold Strongman Classic. Back in WWE, the world's strongest man would use the power that won him the contest, pulling off incredible feats of strength for his fellow superstars in WWE Universe. Soon, though, Henry would discover a mean streak like no other and unleash his rage on the WWE roster. Henry carved the path of destruction through superstars like The Undertaker, Kurt Angle, and Rey Mysterio before making his way to the ECW and capturing the brand's top championship in his first match, defeating Kane and Big Show in the process. After returning to SmackDown, Henry's approach Henry's penchant for punishment was given a name. His opponents were just being beaten down. They were being inducted into the Hall of Pain. So, you know, Mark Henry is going down, and he did his thing. I admit, he did his thing. He came in. I remember his first match in 96. I didn't know. I've got it in 96, but I remember Mark Henry's first match in 1996. I remember it. I do. So that's why I had to talk about it. Came right there, did his thing. The world's strongest man. I was like, man, this man can't wrestle. So one time for Mark Henry being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. So let's talk about some things. Let's talk about some football. Arms McWhistles, the zebra who would fight the lions, the only referee besides Jeff Triplett who named, actually Ed Hockley is the first referee name, the first referee to become popular, the first referee name that I knew that mainstream people remember. Now, Jeff Triplett was intricate, but Ed Hockley was the superstar. So we'll put it like this. Jeff Triplett was like the man behind the lens, the DJ, the producer, and Ed Hockley was the rapper. Put it like that, right? So Ed Hockley has retired. The league announced on Tuesday, and this was March 7th, ending a colorful career that made him one of the most recognized game officials in American sports. He was the most recognized official in sports, in American sports. He had them arms, the first referee with them arms, right? Known for his long-winded explanations and exposed biceps, Hockley, who was 67, would serve as an independent consultant to the league. The NFL promoted his son, back judge Sean Hockley, to replace him. So Sean Hockley is now in the place of his daddy, Ed. So, Sean, you got big shoes to fill. That's like, Sean, you got big shoes to fill. Hey, you know who your daddy is? Sean, your daddy is Arms McWhistles, a.k.a. Ed Hockley, a.k.a. you run up on this, you're going to get these hands, right? Ed Hockley is the second referee to retire since the end of the regular season. So that's why I'm talking about Jeff Triplett, because Jeff Triplett retired this year as well. He retired. He said his in January. Triplett would be replaced by side judge Alex Kemp. Hockley played college football at UTEP and is a founding partner of Jones, Skelton, and Hockley, a law firm in Phoenix. See, he money, right? He joined the NFL in 1990 as a back judge, was promoted to referee in 1992, and entered the 2017 as the NFL's second-longest tenured official. Fellow referee Walt Coleman was hired 1 year early in 1989. One time for Walt. Hockley's pending retirement had been rumored in league circles for months, but he refused on multiple occasions to confirm it publicly. He spent part of last week in his new role as an independent consultant, meeting with NFL's competition committee and other NFL operations officials, or football operations officials. So, you know, Ed Hockley, man. We're going to miss you, E. We're going to miss you, E. You and Jeff Triplett. We're going to miss y'all boys, man. So, one time for Ed Hockley, one time for Jeff Triplett, and NFL refereeing, and refereeing will never be the same. It will never be the same, I'm telling you. All right, so I want to talk about the NCAA tournament. I want to talk about the NCAA tournament, get out some updates. So let's start with the women's bracket, right? Let's start with the women's. So let me let it. All right. Sweet 16 has started, but let me give y'all, I'll give y'all an update because I only gave you all first round information. So let me give you an update on the second round as well as the Sweet 16 going into the Elite Eight. Okay? So so second round action. You had the number one seed, Louisville, defeat the eight seed, Marquette, 90-72. And this was last Sunday. The women's second round was last Sunday. Number 3 seed Tennessee lost to 6 seed Oregon State 66-59. Number 4 seed Texas A&M defeated 5th seed DePaul 80-79. Number 4 seed North Carolina State, NC State defeated number 5 seed Maryland 74-60. Number 1 seed Notre Dame defeated number 9 seed Villanova 98-72. 2 seed Baylor beat 7 seed Michigan 80-58. 2 seed South Carolina beat 10th seed Virginia 66-56. Number 2 seed Oregon defeated 1 seed Minnesota 101-73. Number 1 seed UConn beat Quinnipiac 71-46. Number 5 seed Duke beat number 4 seed Georgia 66-40. Number 3 seed Florida State falls to number 11 seed Buffalo 86-55, Buffalo with the victory. Number 11 seed Central Michigan and another 11 seed over number 3 seed. Number 11 seed Central Michigan defeated number 3 seed Ohio State 95-78. Number 1 seed Mississippi State beat number 9 seed Oklahoma State 71-56. Remember, this is all second round. Number 4 seed Stanford beat number 12 seed Florida Gulf Coast 90-70. Number 2 seed Texas beat number 7 seed Arizona State 85-65. And number 3 seed UCLA beat number 11 Creighton 86-64. So that was the second round. So Sweet 16 action. Number 1 seed Mississippi State beat number 4 seed North Carolina State 71-57. Number 2 seed Baylor falls to number 6 seed Oregon State 72-67. Number 3 seed UCLA defeated number 2 seed Texas 84-75. Number 1 seed Louisville defeated number 4 seed Stanford 86-59. Number 2 seed South Carolina beat number 11 seed Buffalo 79-63. Number 1 seed UConn beat number 5 seed, the 5th seed Duke 72-59. Notre Dame beat Texas A&M. Notre Dame was the first 1 seed, Texas A&M 4 seed. They won 90-84. Number 2 seed Oregon beat number 11 seed Central Michigan 83-69. So that leads to the Elite Eight. And the Elite Eight matchups are Louisville and Oregon State. Number 1 Louisville against number 6 seed Oregon State. And that game is actually being played right now in the end of the first quarter with Louisville going up, leading with a 14-8 score. Number 1 seed Mississippi State is going to play number 3 seed UCLA. Oh! Monday night, you got number 1 UConn against number 2 South Carolina, a must watch. And then you got number 1 Notre Dame against number 2 Oregon, a must watch. Must watch, must watch, must watch. So that's the women's basketball. So let me give you the men's, and the men are down to getting the other half of its final four. So I gave you the men's second round. So let me start with the men's Sweet 16. So in the Sweet 16, you had Loyola, Illinois. They were 11 seed. They defeated number 7 seed Nevada 69-68. Number 3 seed Michigan ran through number 7 seed Texas A&M 99-72. Texas A&M decided not to play in this game. Period. Michigan was just better than them boys. That's it. Number 9 seed Kansas State beat number 5 seed Kentucky, and I picked Kentucky to win it all, but clearly they didn't. So Kansas State won 58-61. Kentucky beat themselves. Number 9 seed Florida State, the home team, beat number 4 seed Gonzaga 75-60. Number 5 seed Clemson goes down to number 1 seed Kansas 80-76. Number 1 seed Villanova beat the 5th seed West Virginia 90-78. Number 2 seed Duke defeated number 11 seed Syracuse 69-65. Texas Tech, who was the 3 seed, defeated number 2 seed Purdue 78-65. So the Elite Eight. So we got half of the Elite Eight that has already been played. So number 11, Loyola, Illinois, Chicago, they defeated number 9, Kansas State, 78-62. Florida State beat themselves and lost to Michigan Florida State the 9 seed, Michigan 3 seed, 58-54. Now, Florida State went 10 minutes without scoring a basket and only lost by 4 points. You tell me. I'm going to say that again. Florida State went 10 minutes in the game without scoring a basket and still only lost by 4 points. Florida State is a very talented team, but they beat themselves. And Leonard Hamilton, some of your coaching moves you made, I'm questioning, especially the last 10 seconds of the game. You down by 4 points. You foul. You do whatever you need to do in 10 seconds. A lot can happen in 10 seconds. You just don't concede in 10 seconds. But Florida State, they I don't know. They beat themselves in this game. They really did. Because Florida State should be in the final. They should be in the final four, but they're not because I don't know. But so coming up, today's matchups would be, but not, yeah, well, okay. The matchups are number one Villanova against number three Texas Tech, and then number one Kansas against number two Duke. So those are the games that will be coming up in the Elite Eight. And then Saturday, the Final Four will be played Saturday, March 31st. And so far we have Michigan against Loyola, Illinois. And Loyola, Illinois is an 11th seed, and Michigan is 3rd seed. We're going to see if we get the other two. So, that's your NCAA tournament update. Now, ESPN put out a list, like I told you earlier, of its 20 most dominant athletes of the last 20 years. And I'm questioning this list. Number one is Tiger Woods. Serena Williams should be number one as the most dominant athlete of the last 20 years. I can't think of any athlete who's consistently been as dominant as Serena over the last 20 years. So let me give you the list. Number one is Tiger Woods. Number two is LeBron James. I can't put neither one of these two above Serena. Number three is Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning has not even been more dominant than Tom Brady. Peyton Manning hasn't even been the most dominant football player. Tom Brady been the most dominant. Number four is Jimmy Johnson. I could give Jimmy an argument, but we're talking 20 years as well, too. Number five is Roger Federer. I don't have a problem with Roger. I don't. Roger probably should be higher. Number six is Annika Sorenstam. Okay. Number seven is Michael Schumacher. Okay. I can't argue Michael Schumacher because I don't watch Formula One, so I can't even say yay or nay. Actually, you know what? I take Serena should be two, Floyd should be one, because Floyd Mayweather has been the most dominant over the last 20. Like, Floyd ain't lost. He hasn't lost a boxing match in 20 years, so it should be Floyd. I take that back. It should be Floyd one, Serena two, probably Federer three, right? But Floyd is eight. Nine is Marta, the football player. I mean, the soccer player Marta from Brazil. Marta has been doing her thing. I can't argue for or against. Number 10 is Usain Bolt. I don't know if Usain been for the last 20, but at least 10 years Usain has been dominant. But I'm not mad at Usain. Lionel Messi, he has a definitely good argument. Serena Williams, she should be top two. Lauren Jackson. I have no idea who Lauren Jackson is, but Lauren Jackson apparently scored a lot of points in the WNBA. I watched the WNBA, and I still don't have a clue who Lauren Jackson is. Okay. So number 14 is Cristiano Ronaldo. He probably should be higher. Novak Djokovic is number 15. Allyson Felix is 16th. She fine. Barry Bonds is 17. Barry Bonds should be higher, way higher, way higher. Top five even. Number 18 is Mike Trout. Mike Trout ain't even been in the league that long, has he? When did he come into the league?
And 19 is Manny Pacquiao. And 20 is Tom Brady. I don't know how the hell, get over. I don't know how Peyton Manning get ranked higher than Tom Brady. But that's that list. I disagree with this list. Tom Brady should be higher. Manny Pacquiao, okay. Mike Trout, okay, whatever. Like, I'm going to say is my main arguments is Barry Bonds, Floyd Mayweather, Serena Williams should be higher. Those are my main arguments about this. Serena Williams, how is she 12? How? I mean, y'all wildin'. I mean, Serena has been literally Serena, Floyd, and Barry Bonds for the last 20 years. They've been on top of their stuff. Like, for real. Roger Federer has been balling. Tiger, not the last. We can't get Tiger the last 20. We can't get LeBron. LeBron has been dominant for like a 7-8 year stretch. But not 20 years. Not, you say, the most dominant. Like, Serena and Floyd and Federer. Serena, Floyd, and Federer have literally been dominant over that time. Jimmy Johnson had this run for a couple years. I give Jimmy Johnson. He rattled off 20 top 10 finishes in 14 consecutive seasons. So I give you that. I give Jimmy Johnson that. I can't take nothing away from Jimmy Johnson. Federer, like I said, I give Federer his due. Annika Sorenstam, she had a run, what they saying, from 2001 to 2005, but you know, okay. 2001 to 2005, Michael Schumacher, whatever, but you know, like I say, that's the list. Floyd Mayweather hasn't lost. He hasn't lost, and he's 8. Come on, man. Floyd 1, Serena 2, Federer 3, Jimmy Johnson 4. Hold on. Floyd 1, Serena 2, Federer 3, Jimmy Johnson 4, Bonds 5. Or I could do Bonds 4, Jimmy Johnson 5. I could do that. Off this list. Now, Messi has been doing this thing. Messi, Usain Bolt, Ronaldo, they have been doing their thing too, so you can put them in there too. I don't know much about Lauren Jackson. She had a 12-year NBA career, and she scored over 5,000 points. 3 of the top 5 single-season PER scorers. So, you know. Hey, all right, whatever, man. So that's ESPN's list of the 20 most dominant athletes of the last 20 years. So, whatever. I don't agree with the whole list, but, you know, Floyd Mayweather should be number one. And that leads me into talking more about Floyd Mayweather. Because supposedly, and I was listening to the radio earlier in the week, and supposedly Floyd is supposedly getting his MMA license to get his ass whooped. I don't know about y'all, but let's not sit here and pretend like Floyd Mayweather gonna go into the MMA and whoop some ass. Floyd about to go into the MMA and get his ass whooped. Point blank, period. I would not pay to see Floyd going to the MMA and get his ass whooped. That's just me, period. I don't know Floyd. I don't know Floyd's fighting skills outside of boxing. We know he could box. But Floyd can't do no MMA, man. Floyd talking about 6 months or a couple weeks or six, whatever, man. Some little short times. Man, Floyd, stop it. If you are the person who think that Floyd Mayweather can go into the MMA and win some matches, you crazy. I don't want to see Floyd do MMA. Floyd going to get his ass kicked if he try to do some MMA. He can't do it. And I tell him to his face, Floyd, you can't do MMA.
That ain't something you just wake up one day and say, you know what, I'm just going to do MMA. I'm a fight. So TMZ is saying that he supposedly supposed to be going to get his fighting license, his MMA license and stuff. We're going to see what happens with that, but let's just be real. Floyd Mayweather doing MMA, no. If you in there, and if you expect anything close to his boxing career, you know nothing about sports. Floyd Mayweather and MMA, to me, go together like lighters and snow. It just ain't going to work. It just ain't going to work. You put the snow, put the light up under that snow going to melt. It ain't going to work. So, yeah. We're going to keep an eye on that, though. We're all going to keep an eye on that, see what comes out of that. They're trying to say Floyd and Conor McGregor may fight or whatever. All right. Cool, man. That's tight. Do your thing. But, yeah, I ain't messing with it. That ain't where it's at. So, I don't believe you, Floyd. I do think you're the most dominant athlete of the last 20 years, but I don't believe you will get up in that octagon and do anything significant. Besides, get your ass whooped and make money. You will make money. You will boost earning in MMA, but, you know, there it is. So moving on. Former NFL safety Eric Reed is saying that he is not getting signed by teams because of his protest alongside Colin Kaepernick. Year before last and this continued protest last year. So let me read this. Eric Reed said in December that he knew his protest of systematic racism during pregame national anthems might make him an unwanted man in the NFL free agency this offseason. Now, the former San Francisco 49ers safety may be proving himself right. 4 days after teams were permitted to start negotiating with unsigned veterans, the 26-year-old defensive back has yet to find a new home. Still time. I feel him, though. Still time, though. Reed took to Twitter on Friday to say that the lack of interest from teams has nothing to do with personal executives and general managers passing on the skill set. Instead, Reed suggested that it has everything to do with ownership, because the owners are the real crackers and the proponent and people who support white supremacy. We know that. GMs aren't the holdup, what he's saying. GMs aren't the holdup, broski. That's what he's saying. Ref said to a fan, GMs aren't the holdup, broski, Reed said to a fan. It's ownership. People who know football know who can play. People who know me know my character. That's what he said in the tweet. So, at first, a first-round draft pick by the 49ers in 2013. Reed also tweeted that the notion that I can't get signed for your team for cheap, not because of my skill set, but because of my protested systematic oppression is ludicrous. Contrary to a statement from NFL Network's Ian Rappaport that literally no other safeties have signed in the first week of free agency, other veterans at the position, including Marcus Gilchrist, have in fact inked new contracts. Reed, meanwhile, has yet to be linked to any team. So Ian Rappaport is saying, hey, it ain't got nothing to do with systematic racism. No safeties are being signed. Eric Reed saying, bitch, shut up. I know these motherfuckers ain't signing me. Shut up. So the safety has missed 9 games over the last 2 seasons with injuries, but he also consistently ranked among San Francisco's leading tacklers, posting at least 60 in all but one of his 5 seasons with the 49ers. A Pro Bowler in 2013 when he intercepted a career-high 4 passes, Reed is perhaps best known for his efforts to protest injustice alongside fellow ex-49er Colin Kaepernick. The first of dozens of NFL players to join Kaepernick in either kneeling or sitting or raising their fist during pregame protest anthems to protest police brutality and systematic racism in 2016. He ultimately played a founding role in the Players Coalition, a group that, albeit after his departure, earned $89 million in support from the NFL. And let's talk about that. Because that group was giving $89 million in hush money, money that the NFL shifted from other money revenue from other places that they can get money. The NFL shifted that money over to that supposed social justice thing that they were doing. That was hush money, sellout money that Malcolm Jenkins, Anquan Boldin, and them other cats. Made me lose respect for Anquan Boldin for taking hush money from the NFL, because the NFL is not really interested in helping to find a solution to ending police brutality against black people, because that's the initial protest. The protest, police brutality of black people and the unjust killing of black people. So, man, y'all tripping. Y'all is tripping. But let's wait. Let's give it a little more time. But I'm not saying Reed do have a point. Reed do have a point. I'm not saying he don't. He do. But let's do give it time. But also, made me think about Antonio Cromartie. Now, I did say in the show in season one that I didn't think that Antonio Cromartie did not get re-signed because of, you know, the longevity of his career, the length of his career, the amount of time that he's been to the league. But a fun further contemplation, I'm going to go back on something I said, take and apologize for saying some of what I said, and I do think half of that goes into his protest. I will say that because I ain't putting nothing past these white folks. I'm not putting nothing past people who are racist and people who subscribe to white supremacy. I'm not putting nothing past them. I'm not giving them no passes. So I do take that back. My bad, Crow. My bad for saying that, and I'm taking that back. And Joseph Ward don't have no problem taking that back. That's why I'm taking that back. So, you know. But Eric Reed is looking for a NFL home and hasn't gotten signed yet, and he's saying it's because of his protest. So we're going to keep an eye on that. Now, further NFL news, former Seattle Seahawks, now he's a current Philadelphia Eagle, Michael Bennett is being indicted for injuring an elderly lady at the Super Bowl. So let me read this. This is from CNN. NFL defensive end Michael Bennett was indicted Friday in Houston on a charge of injury to the elderly in connection with an incident that occurred when he was a spectator at the 2017 Super Bowl, authorities said. Harris County District Attorney's Office said Bennett rushed into the field when the game ended to congratulate his brother Martellus Bennett, who played for the winning New England Patriots. Bennett was told to use a different field entrance, but he pushed through the security detail, which included a 66-year-old paraplegic woman in a wheelchair. Houston Police Chief Art, said at a news conference, the woman suffered a sprained shoulder in the February 5th, 2017 incident, Art said, police chief. It's offensive to me that a man who's supposed to be an example, a professional athlete, thinks it's okay to act like this. Now, let me say this, because people always talk about somebody who's supposed to be the example. Art, I don't know you, but don't be trying to put expectations and things on NFL athletes that you won't put on the president of the United States. Stop putting expectations, higher expectations on athletes than you are on elected officials, especially the president of the United States. The president, and I'm not excusing Michael Bennett's behavior. By no means am I excusing his behavior. But by no means am I expecting Michael Bennett's behavior to be better than the president's. So I'm going to say that. Bennett's legal team does not have a comment at this time. Frank Perez, a member of the team, said Friday night CNN reached out to Bennett for a comment through his representative, Doug Henderson, but was not heard back. Harrison County said the felony charge carries a penalty up to 10 years in prison and a $10,000 fine. Bennett was one of the NFL's most vocal players in protesting the national anthem before the games. He appeared on CNN, said he didn't understand why President Donald Trump would stoop so low to say NFL ownership fired players to protest. Bennett, who started to play with the Seahawks for 5 seasons and just signed a contract with the Eagles. So, Michael Bennett, you messed up on this one. I will have to say that. You messed up on this one. That's when keeping it real goes wrong. You messed up on this one. So, hopefully you don't go to prison. You most likely you ain't gonna go to jail. You're gonna have to pay your $10,000 fine and all that. You can't don't do nothing like that no more. But I will say, you cannot hold athletes to a higher standard than you do elected officials. I hate that. I hate that. I hate athletes being, and that's why like I do my show. I don't hold athletes to those standards. I don't. I don't hold people to standards that I think that people should attain. I don't put standards on people. Michael Bennett, you messed up. What you did was stupid. It was reckless. You injured somebody. You should be kicked in the chest for that. It was stupid what you did. You injured somebody. I want you to understand that. You fucked up. You injured somebody. I'm not going to let you off the hook. You fucked up. That was stupid. It was reckless. And you actually hurt somebody. Now, there's something called accountability. Your ass need to be accountable for your actions. You shouldn't have done it. In your haste, you injured somebody. No Super Bowl victory is worth injuring somebody. I understand you happy for your brother, especially when they told you that you can't go through this entrance, and you ran through it anyway, like you the juggernaut, and you hurt somebody. So yeah, let's get that money up out their pocket. Come on up off that money, and if they whatever community whatever, come on up off that money because that was stupid. But I will say I am not holding professional athletes to a standard that we would not hold elected officials to. How about you people in the community be role models? How about you stop sitting your kids in front of the TV all the time and expecting the TV and athletes to raise them, and you won't have to worry about. You wouldn't have to be so appalled when the athlete's behavior isn't up to what you expect it to be. How about stop expecting these athletes to raise your damn kids? You raise your damn kids. You be the example in your child's life. How about that? I remember watching this, watching ESPN one year, and when Tim Tebow was still at Florida, and this young white kid was dying, and the white kid's dad, who was in the white kid's life, was saying that the only reason his child is living and still holding on to his living is fighting the disease is because of Tim Tebow. And I was like, you got to be the worst father ever. You got to be the worst father ever if Tim Tebow is your child's biggest inspiration. You right there. You do for that child every day, and Tim Tebow's the reason your child's still alive. Man, forget Tim Tebow. Be a dad. Be a real dad. Hey, be real community people. Be real community people. Stop being lame. Stop expecting people on TV to set the standards. And you all set the standards for the children in your communities and your families. How about that? Y'all get me with that. Y'all crazy, man. Athletes, I don't like your behavior. I don't like your behavior. Why are you expecting this athlete to raise your child to set the standard for your child? That's your job. You do that. You be the example for the kids in your neighborhood. You be the example for the kids in your family. And if you feel like that's too big a job for you, start complaining about somebody else. Shut up, because you're a lame adult. Only lame adults are the ones who act like they can't be a great example in the lives of the youth that they're around. If you feel like you can't do it, that's because you lame as shit. Yes, I said. Now, let's move on. Aaron Hernandez's lawyer and ex say he struggled with being gay. Why? Why? My biggest question is, why is this information coming out? And wow. So Aaron Hernandez is no longer around to explain himself, but figures from his past are trying to separate the fact from the fiction in the life of the former Patriots star and convicted murderer. In the 11 months since the 27-year-old hanged himself in prison, there have been unconfirmed rumors about his sexuality of the former Pro Bowler, and new documentary features allegations from strong sources stating he struggled with his orientation. And in Oxygen's Aaron Hernandez uncovered A former girlfriend and one of his attorneys revealed their dealings with Hernandez, both alleging he had suggested he was gay. Allison Anderson, who dated Hernandez while they attended the University of Florida, said they connected again years after splitting, after she heard he was arrested in connection with the murder of semi-professional football player Odin Lloyd. They communicated through letters in which Hernandez allegedly opened up to her. Well, hell, produce the letters. He admitted to being molested as a kid, Anderson said, but he never dealt with it. It led to his issues in his sexuality. Anderson alluded to Hernandez having a relationship with the man in college, though she did not speak explicitly. Back in college, there were text messages I saw on his phone when he came back from a trip to Connecticut. He said there was a male. He didn't have a name, didn't say too much, but it was a relationship with somebody. And when I questioned about it, he always denied it. And one of the I'm gonna start reading because I don't want to get too deep in this. But Aaron Hernandez was a fool, and Aaron Hernandez was mixed up. He had a lot of issues. He needed counseling. But let's not try to tarnish. I don't know. I don't know what they're trying to do with this. Why do we need to know? Why do we care? Don't nobody care who Aaron Hernandez was having sex with. So what's the lawyer and the ex-girl? Why? Why are y'all talking about this? Who cares? Who cares who Aaron Hernandez had sex with? Some people are trying to say that that's why Odin Lloyd was killed, because Odin Lloyd knew he was gay. If those are things that got to do with the case, but who cares? People trying to be famous, man. Nobody care who Aaron Hernandez is having sex with or who he liked. Nobody care about that. Aaron Hernandez only played football. Who cares? But see, this is what happens when our media is not putting out our stories. You get stuff like this and people trying to be famous and just trying to clickbait and all this. Man, nobody care about Aaron Hernandez's sexuality. Stop being lame. Where's real journalism? Nobody care about Aaron Hernandez. Hey, man, Aaron Hernandez was a fool. And his life ended tragically, and a lot of people who loved him are suffering because of his foolish nature. So that's all the intention I'm going to get at. I will say the lawyer and the ex-girlfriend, y'all are lame fucks. Y'all are lame as shit for what you're doing. You lame. L-A-M-E-L-7 squares for trying to put this information out about this man. Nobody care about this man's sexuality, him being gay. Y'all lame for putting this out. Who cares? Y'all bet not slip up. You bet not. Y'all two bet not have nothing wrong going on, because I'm exposed, y'all. I'm going to air you out. Who cares? Aaron Hernandez was not smart. All right. Michael Smith he's finally left ESPN. ESPN, y'all stupid. This is my pre-rant rant. ESPN, y'all stupid. You all took the His and Hers show in the podcast. Well, not necessarily the podcast, but y'all took the His and Hers show and said, hey, we want y'all two blackies to be on SportsCenter, but not be black, though. Don't do that black stuff. I don't want y'all to be black, but I want y'all to be the type of black that white people love. Not the type of black that black people love, even though that's the reason why we want y'all on our show, because we want black people to watch our show more, but we want the black people who love white people and who want to assimilate into white culture to watch our show. That's what we want. We don't want black people who are unapologetically black or pro-black or black people who just like black people and black culture to watch our show. Even though we do want them to watch, that's not the book, because we try to bring in, you know, cooler white people, because white people love black culture, just not black people. And ESPN basically has showed that white America, especially white supremacists, have a love affair for black culture, but they hate black people. ESPN just demonstrated this when they made the SportsCenter to 6 and told Jemele Hill and Michael Smith them that they was going to be able to do their thing. Then as they start doing their thing, stop letting them do their thing, because, you know, it don't make white people feel comfortable. Which is stupid. Which is the executives at ESPN, y'all are stupid for this. The producers, everybody whose idea was it to mess the show up, you should have just left them on His and Hers. Just left them on His and Hers, and everything would have been everything. But no,
Y'all want to get special. I want to have Michael Smith and Jemele Hill come do their show on ESPN at 6 o'clock. But I don't want them to be really black because they're going to scare away the white people we love. So be kind of black, but not really black. Man, y'all are fucking stupid for that. Stupido. El stupido for that. You messed up. Ha ha, ESPN. Ha 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 ha. You messed up. Ha ha. Hold on, I just brought Disney stop. But still, ha, y'all messed up. Y'all, you fix that shit, though. Fix it, because I just brought Disney stock. So fix that shit, because I'm part owner of you. So fix that. I mean, you fix it now, you fix it good. But what you shouldn't have did was try to mess with the chemistry of Jemele Hill and Michael Smith. Whoever tried to do that, you should be fired, because you're stupid. You have no idea what you're doing, and ESPN is going to suffer for that. But my Disney stock better not suffer for that. If my Disney stock suffer for that, I'm whooping your ass. I'm whooping your ass. Oh, trust me, I'm pro-black, but I love taking white money. I love taking white money, right? But ESPN, y'all messed up. You messed up, and you shouldn't have done that. Now you have no Michael Smith or Jemele Hill, and the 6 is now back to being Sports Center at 6 o'clock. Because you got to be cool to watch the 6. The 6 got sold. Sports Center at 6 o'clock doesn't. Sports Center at 6 o'clock is like saltine crackers. The 6 is like, it's like some good sweet cornbread. Right? Don't nobody care about Sports Center. Sports Center don't make people feel good. But the 6 make you want to take a nap after that. So ESPN, the next time y'all get the bright idea to put black people on prime time, make sure you get you some old Sambo black people who don't mind selling out. Because if you get some black people who like being black, you ain't gonna bring in the artists that you're trying to bring in. You're going to make them racist white people mad. And that's why. It is what it is. So ESPN, y'all get 2 of the biggest middle fingers ever, and y'all are stupid, and hell on, and fuck on, and get up out of here. It's just stupid as shit. Now that I got warmed up, I'm not black, I'm OJ. Okay. OJ Simpson is now, he's a part of my weekly rant. Hey, OJ, I'm not mad at OJ for his tour and his talks. I'm not mad at OJ. Some of y'all black folk, OJ is guilty. Oh, my God. Hey, man. That's that man business. All I'm going to say is the score is white supremacists 400 trillion, black people 1. That's all I'm going to say. That's what the score is. But the reason why I'm finna go in on OJ's dumb ass is OJ think Colin Kaepernick made a mistake. OJ still trying to cape. White people don't like you, OJ. White people only like black culture. They like the benefiting from you. But they really don't like you, especially since you got away with killing a white woman. And the fact that you keep getting white women girlfriends is really, really, really funny. But OJ, you got to be about the dumbest motherfucker. But the smartest at the same time, but most sell it, you a sellout to the nth degree, OJ. OJ, you so down with selling out, you sell yourself out, OJ. I'm not black, I'm OJ. Okay. So OJ said, this is what he said about Colin Kaepernick. That's why I'm getting on him. OJ said Colin Kaepernick made a mistake for standing up against the flag. But this is how he said it. I think Colin Kaepernick made a mistake. That's my OJ voice. I think Colin Kaepernick made a mistake. I really appreciate what he was trying to say. I thought he made a bad choice in attacking the flag. I grew up in a time when deacons were in the KKK. I didn't disrespect the Bible because of those guys. The flag shouldn't be disrespected because of what the cops do. Flag represents what we want America to be. Shut up! Shut up, OJ! Shut your goddamn ass up, OJ. Because nothing you say going to make white people like your dumb ass even. Shut your goddamn ass up, OJ. Shut up. You open your mouth again, I'll hit you in your goddamn ass. Shut up, OJ. First of all, Colin Kaepernick did not attack the flag. The flag attacked Black America. The American flag for black people stands for slavery, injustice, manifest destiny, all of white supremacy. That's what the flag stands for, black people who know that they're black. OJ, you still don't know you black. You still think, I'm just OJ. You a dumb-ass nigger. That's what you are. OJ is the epitome of what a nigger is. When white people created niggers, OJ was one of the prototypes. They was like, yeah, we want this. Because mostly when we think about niggas, we think about people in the hood, people who are ratchet, that can't talk, that do all type of, nah. That's nigga shit. A real nigga, a real nigga is an OJ. It's a William O'Neill. A real nigga is a black person. It's a Sambo. A real nigga is a black person, a Sambo who would sell out every inch of their integrity for the affection of white people. It's like what we call, in my circle, we call it Xavier's disease. It's past Jackie Robinson syndrome. See, Jackie Robinson syndrome is when a black person will put themselves in harm's way and is willing to receive harm and death threats and all these things from white America when they don't have to. That's Jackie Robinson syndrome. Xavier's disease is when a black person is willing to compromise and even reinvent themselves to the point to where white people would accept them. That's what OJ is. OJ has Xavier's disease, and OJ is a real dumb-ass nigga that don't nobody like. Nobody likes you, OJ. Nobody likes you. You a stupid mother. You a stupid mother, Hakabu. I spit on you, OJ. Right in your face. Right in your face. Spit on you. You so... OJ. That flag... America is supposed to be just what it is. White people dominating everybody else. What was America supposed to be, OJ? Tell me what was America... How was America supposed to be when the Constitution was written during slavery, OJ? You's a dumbass nigga, OJ. You are the epitome of niggerdom, of niggotry, of nigger shit. You are the epitome of nigger shit, O.J. Simpson. Orenthal Simpson. Nobody likes you, O.J. Nobody likes you because you're stupid. Colin, first of all, you ain't had no business commenting on Colin. I don't care what nobody say. You could have no comment. No comment. But now you had to let the inner Sambo out. You had to let your inner Sambo out. Well, you know, Colin Kaepernick. He shouldn't have done that. He disrespected the flag. He attacked. No, he didn't say disrespect. He said he attacked the flag. You said he attacked. Man, shut up, OJ. Shut your dumb ass up, OJ. White people don't like you, OJ. White people do not like you. No matter what you say, OJ, white people will never like you. And you definitely will never, ever, 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 ever get back into the good graces of white people, not if you got away with the murder of two white people, allegedly. Right? Wink, wink. But this nigga, I got to talk about OJ like that. This nigga had a nerve to talk about Colin Kaepernick. It's the way he did it. That's just the way he... Shut up, man. Shut up. That flag for you ain't meant shit, OJ. I know you think you got this America shit down because you killed a white woman and got away with it. I know you do. And in some respects, you got something. Because the glove ain't fit, so the shit got acquitted. But you a dumb fuck. You stupid, OJ. And sooner or later, it's going to be all over for you. But right now, I'm going to talk about you. I'm going to talk about you good and clean, because you are a horrible example of what a black man is supposed to become, whether you're in America, Africa, Australia, Asia. O.J. Simpson, I've dropped turds in my toilet that have more pride and integrity than you, O.J. I've dropped turds in my toilet with corn and peanuts and other food that wasn't properly digested that had more integrity than you did, than you ever will have, O.J. Orenthal, you are what's wrong with America. You are what's wrong with black people. You really think you got a place in white America. You really think white folk mess with you, rock with you. They don't rock with you, O.J. They don't rock with you. And you can do whatever you, all this little damage controls, the white people will never, ever, ever get on your level like that with you again. They don't like you because you are stupid. You are so dumb as hell, O.J. You stupid, man. And the thing about you is you really fucking believe that these white folk really love you. And that's the thing that tripped me out. That's the funniest, most hilarious part of all of this. You're doing all of this. You call it not cap. Let's just be real. Let's call it what it is. Let's call it what it is. You're trying to call that cap because you think that's going to get you points in white America. Look at you. How you think you're going to get points from white America when you're going on tour explaining how you killed this white girl? You going on tour explaining how you killed this white girl, then going to come back, hey, well, you know, I'm going to try to get me some points from these white people, and I'm going to tell you that Colin Kaepernick made a horrible decision. White folk don't like your dumb ass, Orenthal James, or whatever the fuck your name is. You are the epitome of a Sambo. You are the epitome of a sellout. William O'Neill is smiling down on you, saying yes. That's how you sell your people out. O.J. Simpson, you should be ashamed. I know your daddy wish that nut would have fell on the ground. I know your daddy wish when he bust that it ain't falling in his wife and your mother. It fell on the ground. Or it could have gotten her hair or something like that. Because O.J., nah. You are a worst waste of sperm, my man. Nobody would have ever predicted watching you run up and down the field as a Buffalo Bill that you would turn out to be this motherfucker that you are. You basically wasted your whole life. Think about it, O.J. You wasted your whole life to end up being what you are today. A sorry sack of shit. A waste of a good nut. That's what you are, O.J. You are a waste of a good nut. I know your parents mad that they had such beautiful sex and engage in such a beautiful creation ceremony for you to come out the way that you are. Such a beautiful creation ceremony. And then turn out your son don't even want to be black. He don't even think, he don't even look at himself as black. And then he think he's not black to the point to where he can just do whatever, say whatever. He even kill white women and get away with it. Now, since white people don't like him, he going on damage control tour. And he's going to try to throw black people up under the bus, namely Colin Kaepernick, because, hey, that's an easy target. Hey, we know white people don't like Colin Kaepernick because of his stance against against racism and racist cops. And we know he attacked the flag. Fuck the flag. Fuck O.J. Fuck racist white people. All that. Fuck all that. Fuck all that. O.J., you was a bitch. You was born a bitch. You lived as a bitch. You're going to die as a bitch. And on your tombstone, it should say, here lies a bitch-ass nigga. Because that's what you are. You are a bitch in the full sense. You a coochie nigga, O.J. You are a big coochie nigga. And, yes, I am using the N-word. I'm using the E-R for you, O.J. You don't even get to be cool and be a nigga. Even though I think anybody who thinks there's a difference between nigger and nigga is a damn dumbass fool. But, O.J., you a nigger. You a stupid,
nigger and a waste of space and a waste of air and a waste of a good orgasm from your parents. And I wish they could, I know they wish they could take that back to produce such a waste of flesh like you. O.J. Simpson, you are dumb as shit. You are dumb as shit. Like I said, I've dropped turds out of the crack of my ass that mean more to America than you do. That's how garbage you are in life, O.J. Simpson. That I've dropped turds in the toilet that mean more to America and the world than you do. Because you ain't shit, and you a dumb-ass, ignorant nigger. That's all I got to say about that. Hey, man, Fix Sports Podcast, that was my weekly rant. Thank y'all for tuning in. Thank y'all for tuning in to the Fix Sports Podcast. I mean, you know, season 2, episode 2, we moving on. We getting down the road. We getting better. Thank you for tuning in to the Freedom Train Network. Remember, our weekly lineup, every Monday you'll get the Fix Sports Podcast. Every Tuesday, nothing. I don't know why I said Tuesday. So every Wednesday you will get the Freedom Train Podcast series, as well as the live showing of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones and Erica Tolbert. Every Thursday you will get an episode of Lessons from the Screen with Patrick Irvin. Every Friday you will get the podcast of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones and Erica Tolbert. And you will also get the episodes of Tea Time, Black Women Talk. So they're putting the episodes out. So make sure you go to the website, www.freedomtrainradio.com, right now. Check out the first 2 episodes of Tea Time, Black Women Talk. And every Friday, you will get your episode of On the Shoulders of Giants, the podcast, and where we profile the sung and unsung heroes of the African diaspora. Hey, man, I appreciate y'all rocking with me, listening to me, my craziness, especially my rants. And my cursing and my rants when I go off on stupid people who deserve it. So, hey, man, I love y'all. And the energy is just building. And let's just keep rolling, man. You know how we do it. I am Joseph Ward. 2 fingers are in the air like I just don't care. Peace.
I am the greatest.
I call the president. National Guard, we need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
His heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lennox is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless.